Most of you who are members of this congregation or who attend here regularly know that this is a pretty rough time for us. As families and as the family of God gathered together, there are a number of things that have happened in our extended family and in our immediate family. Marilyn's dad died recently. David, her husband's dad, died Friday morning. Sharon, a beloved member of this congregation, died just a little more than 2 weeks ago. Her husband is in the hospital. Carl is in the hospital now. His mother is in the same hospital and doesn't even know that he's in the hospital with her. John Kaiser's dad died. Tim James's grandfather died. Monday, Tim's dad disappeared and he hasn't been found yet. It's been a week now, disappeared in Kentucky with an 18-wheeler that he was driving. They're both gone. Tim and a friend of his, David, are down there now trying to find them. And the police have been looking, the trucking company has been looking, and now the two of them are looking. Cheryl is going in for surgery Wednesday. Judy Gray's dad has been really struggling with several things. Mary Moore has been out with a pulmonary problem. Eight of us in this congregation in the last 2 or 3 months have had colonoscopies. We've started a colon club because so many of us have done this. And there are many other things that are going on now. I'm not going to mention all of them. My point is just that there is a lot going on for us, and it's really a struggle. It's in some ways it's scary. And in fact, my wife expressed it this way. She said it's starting to really creep me out. It's just very tough, and if you're here for the first or second time today, this much has never happened to this little congregation all at one time before. It's been really, really hard. And the challenge for any of us, and that includes me, is, first of all, how do you deal with all of this happening at once? And I'm sure even if this is your first time here today, there might be something going on in your family or your life too. It's just these last couple of months have just been really, really rough. And when we struggle with something that difficult, and this combination of things that are that difficult, we both struggle with how to deal with it, and we also struggle with God and who God is and whether there is a God even. These are the sorts of things that just press in on us when there is this much difficulty being faced. I think it's God's providence that we were given the scripture this morning that we were given. All of the parts of it. From Jesus with the disciples who he sends out with the boats, they've caught nothing. And he says, just put your nets down again. And they catch so much that their boats almost sink. And yet the men that he has blessed there are, they're not anything in the eyes of the world or society. These are just fishermen. These are guys who go home stinking of fish every night and whose hands are dirty and whose clothes are dirty from the fish that they work with every day. It's a hard life being a fisherman. These are not important people. Paul, who had persecuted the Christians, talks in Corinthians about how he can't believe how much he's been blessed because he had been a persecutor of those that he is now an apostle of, and yet the Lord has blessed him in spite of who he was and what he did. And Gideon, here in the 6th chapter of Judges, it's so amazing. Gideon is a little bitty guy from a small, weak tribe. His self-image is probably even smaller than he is. He doesn't think much of himself. And to be frank, there wasn't much of him. This was not a strong man internally or externally. He wasn't physically strong. He wasn't emotionally, mentally, spiritually strong. None of those things. This is a little weak man from a little weak tribe. He says that about himself. And an angel of the Lord appears to him and doesn't say, "Oh, little man," The angel of the Lord says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Now, can you imagine on the day when you're feeling least sure of yourself and as small as you've ever been, to have an angel appear and address you as mighty hero? He's got to think that either he's going insane or the angel is insane. But that's what happens. The angel says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And Gideon, God bless him, has the courage to say this: "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Now, the Israelites, do you know what's happening to the Israelites right now? They've been invaded by the Midianites. Midian. The other word for that that's probably more familiar to everyone here is Bedouin. You know who the Bedouins are? They're the nomadic tribes that swarm over the desert. It's actually the same word in the root, Midian and Bedouin. The word, the letter that begins that word in the original language can be either M or B. It's a little like we used to call Peking, P-E-K-I-N-G, remember? And then it was changed to Beijing, B and P. Same sort of thing. In the Chinese language, those letters are very close to each other. And in the original language, Midian, the M and the B are very close together. So the Midians are the Bedouins of today. It's the same word, and it's the same people. Well, do you know how the Bedouins or the Midians lived? They plundered. That was how they lived, off of other people. They were like a swarm of locusts. In fact, they're described that way in Scripture. And what would happen is the Israelites would plant a crop, and they'd tend the fields, and they'd raise their flocks, and they would bring all of this up carefully so that they could feed their families. And as soon as it was ripe and ready to pluck, the Bedouins swarmed in, or the Midians swarmed in to Israel and took all of it. And there were thousands and thousands and thousands of them. The Israelites couldn't resist. There were too many of them. In fact, what the Israelites did is they went and hid in caves. They actually carved caves out of the limestone so that when the Midians invaded, which they did regularly, they'd have a place to hide. They carved streets inside the limestone, 6 to 8 feet wide, and rooms off of those streets inside the limestone where they lived during the invasion. They had holes that they drilled up from the ceilings of those rooms to the outside so they could get some air. And that's where they lived during the invasion. What you heard about Gideon in the scripture read today, that he was threshing grain under a wine press. What he was doing was hiding under a wine press so that he could thresh out some grain so he could feed his family. Because if it was seen that he had grain, the Midians would take it. That's how they lived, is they took from other people, including the Israelites. And once they had cleaned the land, gotten all of the grain, and slaughtered all of the animals, then they swarmed on. And it really was like a giant swarm that came across the desert, just thousands and thousands of them, an irresistible swarm, indefeatable. And what you did when they came is you hid. That was all you could do. And so that's where we are right now when this angel appears to Gideon and says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And Gideon says, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" He's talking about the fact that they've been invaded and robbed of all of the plants and cows that they'd husbanded and raised for their own families. And then he says this: "Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." So Gideon, in some ways, is pretty bold. This angel comes and says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And he says, "Yeah. Then why is all this happening to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Why has God abandoned us? You tell me he's with us. Why has he abandoned us and handed us over to these Midianites who just consume everything that they have?" So Israel and Gideon have all been swarmed. It's the best way I can think to describe it. Like a swarm of locusts. And then it says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you.'" And he argues again, "But Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." So he's pretty clear. I'm from the weakest tribe, and I'm the weakest in the weakest tribe. Can anybody else identify with this? Yeah, I can. The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." And then he asks God to show him a sign. And Gideon goes away and prepares a meal, brings it back to where this angel is, and he puts some flour and some meat on a rock. And then the angel says, "Pour the broth over it." You know, broth is water with a little bit of flavoring in it. So he's got this flour and this meat, and he pours water on top of it until it's a sopping wet mess. And then the angel reaches out with a staff and touches it, and it bursts into flame. And then Gideon knows for sure this is a real angel of God. The angel vanishes, and Gideon exclaims, this is what he says, "Sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Now, he's not praising God when he says this. He's scared to death. He's frightened because he's realized that he has just come face to face with an angel of God. And then the Lord speaks to him directly and says, "It's all right. Don't be afraid. You will not die." It gives you a sense of the depth of Gideon's fear, is that God has to tell him, "You won't die," because he's just seen an angel face to face. So then Gideon actually tests God and asks him for a couple more signs. This is a guy sort of living out his weakness. Every time God gives him a sign, he asks for another one. Until finally God says, "Now I want you to go and defeat all of these Midians." Well, you can imagine Gideon looks out on the plain, and they're as far as the eye can see. Thousands and thousands, tens of thousands and tens of thousands of these and their camels. And he says, "How can I defeat them?" So he calls together all of the warriors in Israel. Tens of thousands, 22,000, something like that, a lot. Huge number of warriors. And then basically decides that he doesn't have enough. And so he talks to God, and God says, "Actually, the problem is you have too many. Send some home." How like God. So Gideon sends all home but 10,000. This is a lot of people. This is a lot of people. Sends them all home but 10,000. And then God says, "Still too many. I want to make sure that you know this isn't you that wins this battle. It's I that win the battle for you." And so he makes him send all of them home except for 300. So Gideon and 300 are going to go against the tens of thousands of Midianites. And then he asks God for one more sign. And so God sends him down to hide in the bushes next to where the Midianites are camping out and listen. And he hears two of them talking, and one of them speaking to the other is very frightened. And what he's saying is, "I heard Gideon is coming after us, and he has God with him." So they're scared. They have more confidence in God than Gideon does, apparently. Because they know Gideon and God, that's an undefeatable combination. So Gideon goes back up and he rouses the 300 men. And he does this most peculiar thing as instructed by God. He gives each of them a clay pot and a torch and a trumpet. And he has them hide the torch inside the clay pot. And then all 300 of them go and surround the Midian camp. 300 guys surround tens of thousands. I mean, it's an interesting concept. And then at the signal, all of them blow their trumpets, and all of them break the clay jars and hold up their torches. And the Midianites see the torches and hear all of the trumpets blowing, and they kill each other. Gideon's men don't even fight. They just stand holding the torches aloft and blowing the trumpets, and the Midianites kill each other in the camp until there are almost none left, just a tiny remnant, and Gideon and his little band chase them and kill them. And that's the defeat. Now, the message here for us is that as difficult as things are for us, and let's be honest, things are really tough. They're creeping us out right now. As tough as they are, and as smart as any one of us are, or competent, capable, whatever, it's not enough. We need to recognize that actually, if we look at this little church, this is a pretty little tribe here. And most of us probably identify pretty readily, when we're honest with ourselves, with Gideon. Oh, I'm the least of a little tribe. And it really isn't anything that any one of us is ever going to do that's going to get us through the awful stuff that's going on right now. It's going to take our willingness not to rely on ourselves. And in that time when the first thing I want to do is try to solve things myself, and the last thing I want to do is even face the reality or the possibility that there is a God, because it's right at that moment that I want to turn to Him and praise Him. Scripture tells us that God dwells on the praises of His people. And we also know that the thing which the swarm, I think that's the best description I've heard of Satan and his legions in a long time. The one thing which is truest about the swarm is they hate hearing God praised. And the thing that we can do when times are roughest and which is least intuitive is to praise God. But the thing which changes the world is when Christians, in the face of persecution or disease or trouble or trial, missing fathers, in the midst of those worst of times, that we stand and we praise. Because it is the praise and the God particularly whom we praise, in whose presence the swarm cannot stand. The swarm must flee in the presence of God. And so at the hardest time, that is the moment in which we must say, come, Father, come, Holy Spirit, come, Jesus, who redeemed us and save us from this time of trial. We praise you for who you are. Come and dwell among us. And in the midst of that trial and that trouble, He will come. And His glory will be present. And we will feel the weight of that glory. Amen.